Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Templeton Thompson from Bon Aqua, Tennessee.
And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November the 26th, 2012, episode 538. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world. Well, that makes us officially in the holiday season. Templeton, welcome to the show.
Thank you, darling. How are you doing? Happy
doing
holidays.
Terrific. Well, happy holidays to you, too. Now, I just want to explain that Jamie is off at Chad's family for the Thanksgiving weekend. She'll be back on Wednesday. She'll be here Wednesday and Friday. So she is coming back. She's doing the family obligation thing. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to get Templeton Thompson in the co-host chair with us today. We try and do this once every holiday season because the holidays wouldn't be the same without you showing up.
Oh, you're so sweet. I love you guys. Thank you.
Now, happy holidays. How did you write that song? Where did that come from?
It's just something that Sammy and I have been saying for years and years and years. And we made a Christmas card once with a picture of me and baby girl Jane, my big rock star baby girl Jane, with that saying on it. And then when we hooked up with Briar, you know, a few years ago, and for Jane to have her Briar model made twice over, right? They had asked if we had any Christmas music, and we thought, you know, we ought to probably write that song, Happy Holidays, and that's what we did. So sat down and wrote it. So a saying for a while, and now it's a song. And now it's on a T-shirt, too. So.
Well, I know that Helena... You know, Helena from the Stable Scoop Show, that's one of her favorite songs ever, and she actually told me the other day, she said, I have that on my iPod, and I play it all year long. That shouldn't just be a Christmas song. It's too good.
Oh, that's really sweet. Thank you, Helena. You're awesome.
Well, we're really going to hear more Templeton music as we go through the show today, as well as get caught up a little bit of what's going on in your life and with Sam as well. But first, we're going to have to find out from Jennifer what else is on the show today.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, while Templeton temporarily takes custody of the co-host's microphone, we will enjoy some horsey headlines, some horsey hilarity, and some horsey holiday tunes, as you just witnessed. And the sliding stop to finish the day, Wiley, the voice of Horse Nation, stops by with a tasty serving of equestrian entertainment. And on this day in 1931, the first cloverleaf-style on-off ramp for an interstate highway picture showed on the Engineering News Record in 1931. Thank you guys for creating cloverleafs and not taking into account that a human being is driving a car.
Only Jennifer would find that random weird stuff. All right, time for
a random
daily
and weird. All right.
Today's Daily Winnie, mine goes out to Amber from Whispering Rain Farm in South Africa. And by the way, she said to say hello to you, Tempe. So you must know Amber from South Africa.
Yes, I do. I love that beautiful rock star cowgirl and her beautiful boy Trooper and her beautiful boy Dancer and the whole wonderful Whispering Rain Farms herd. Love you guys. Miss you all so much.
We're going to get her on the Stable Scoop show this week. We've never interviewed her for a show, I don't think. And what's so cool, I love watching her Facebook posts. You're probably watching them too. And she's always posting pictures of what she sees out the back window of her house. And we're talking wild boar, elephants, you know, everything you can imagine she sees out the back window of her house.
I know. She's amazing. Her story is amazing. So you guys are going to have a blast. Yeah, she's a rock star. I love you, Miss Amber.
Okay, cool. All right, and I know she's probably listening to this show, so we'll say hello to her. All right, your turn.
I love that. That's so cute. My Daily Winnie goes out to all the awesome, amazing rock stars who pre-ordered our brand-new Songs from Seven Clinic CDs. And I know I sent them all emails letting them know that their CDs are on their way to them, but just letting you know right now here on the Horses in the Morning show, your CDs are en route to you, and thanks oodles and oodles and oodles for all the support, y'all, from me and Sam and Jane and Bo and the whole Planet Cowgirl herd. We really appreciate you. Love, love, love.
Well, we just got the DVDs in, actually, so we haven't had a chance to watch them yet, but they're sitting on Jennifer's desk, and we're going to be watching them here soon.
You're going to learn so much. Amazing, amazing. Absolutely amazing. I know I'm biased because we're a musical part of it, but it is, y'all, setting the bar to a whole new level. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, I know, too, that they're carried by a lot of our sponsors, our retail sponsors here are carrying them, and I think that those DVDs are probably going to be a huge Christmas gift buy this year for all over the country, don't you think?
I do. I totally think so, and I'm hoping they'll want the musical companion piece to go along with it.
So they can listen
little
to it
album
anytime.
Called. Yeah.
And I assume they're for sale at TempletonThompson.com right now.
Yes, sir, they are. And that's something I'll tell you about. They're actually sale limited edition right now kind of deal. So I'll tell folks about that later.
Okay, sounds good. All right, really bad ads this week. On Friday, it's back. We have a gift pack from Redmond Rock. And you all know what Redmond Rock is. We've been doing gift packs from them forever. It's Beaker's choice of a mineral rock, and he uses these all the time. We just had to buy him a new one, actually. So Redmond Rock is what our gift pack is going to be for the winner of Really Bad Ads. Get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com by Thursday evening, and we'll put them in there on Friday's show. That's Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with Really Bad Ads in the subject line. Well, what's going on in the world of Templeton Thompson right now? You have any current projects or anything you're up to?
You are so sweet. Always, 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 right? Which leads me to what I was just saying a second ago about our Songs from Seven Clinics album. What we're doing right now, because we have a very limited edition of those CDs at the moment, we are offering those as part of our new Girls and Horses re-release, because we're also re-releasing our Girls and Horses CD thanks to our amazing angels at EGALA, the Equine Assisted Growth and Learning Association. So what we're offering right now, I have 10 limited edition Girls and Horses re-release Happy Holidays gift sets. And that you can go to my website and just click on the home page button, and you'll drop down and see the little button that tells you all about it. But basically, you're going to get every single CD that we've released, and then downloads of several of the CDs that we've released as well. And it's a happy little gift set for folks this year who would like a whole lot of Templeton Thompson and the Planet Cowgirl Herd music in their home this year for the holidays. So I'm excited. So just go to templetonthompson.com, click on the home button, and then drop down to the Happy Holidays Girls and Horses re-release gift set. I'm really excited. So they're going to be first come, first serve, and I'm hoping they go fast.
It's sort of like the Beatles or the Stones, you know, mega pack, you know?
It is. And I know I'm just a little silly old me, but, you know, if folks wanted that, I would be very honored, and we'd appreciate all the support, because we appreciate all the support. And what I'm doing with all of that too is, of course, I'm going to sign everything, and I'll personalize it, you know, to the whole family, two and four legged, you know, whatever folks want. So they just have to let me know that information when they order them, and I'd just be really, really, really grateful. Me and the whole herd would. So there you go. Otherwise, to order the Songs from Seven Clinics CD right now, you can, and I have this on my website as well, you can order them from the fine folks at Trafalgar Square Horse and Rider Books and our dear friends at Brighton Feed and Saddlery. So they have them right now as well. So. But no worries, we'll have lots more soon, but right now it's just a special deal. So
terrific.
Come
very
on
good.
And order it. Come on, do it. What you waiting for, y'all? Y'all are awesome. But again, thank
you,
Oodles, everyone.
Do you have some concerts coming up here before the holidays?
We do. You know, not a whole bunch. This is kind of the time of the year for us that it slows down a little bit, at least for the touring, which honestly I'm grateful for. But as you know how much I love being on the road too. So, but this time of year I get to where I sort of hunker down and work on different things at home. We're working really hard to, we're retooling our Planet Cowgirl website. And our Planet Cowgirl t-shirt. So I wanted to let folks know that as well. I'm making sure to set up a store on templetonthompson.com. So you can find that also on our website. And we have a lot of Planet Cowgirl inventory in right now. And then we're doing some new things, bringing back some old designs. We have a little Zazzle store. Have you guys ever used Zazzle.com? You go in and you order an individual?
I've seen it, actually, but I haven't ever used it.
Okay, well, that's what we're using for all of our Happy Holidays gear, and then we're, like I said, we're bringing back some of our older Planet Cowgirl designs and then creating some new ones. So I'm sort of, that's kind of the stuff I'm working on right now. I'm on the computer a lot, and then I've been writing songs, and like I said, we're retooling, re-releasing Girls and Horses, so we're revamping the artwork on that right now and adding a couple more tracks, and I've written some new things that I'm looking forward to putting out in the universe soon. I don't know, just having way too much fun, just feeling blessed, you know. And we made a music video here with Miss Cindy Meal just about a month ago, and so folks will get to see that after the first of the year. I'm really excited. It was really so much fun to work with her and that whole amazing herd. Y'all, the gentleman who was the director of photography on the set, is a rock star. His name is Roger Pistol, and he's done, like, all of my favorite music videos ever. You know, Strawberry Wine, Sean Mullins' Lullaby, Rockabye, and just a gazillion, you know, like, what's the artist, Pontoon, I'm blanking on their name, and here I'm like a country artist, and they're one of my favorite acts. You know what I'm talking about? Boondocks. Who are those guys? I can't think of their name. It's like I haven't had enough coffee.
I can't think of it either.
Right at the end of the show, I'll just blurt it out.
I can't think of it either.
But anyway, they are amazing. And folks can kind of find out about all the folks who worked on our When I Get That Pony Road music video team on my homepage. It's really fun because they're all rock stars. I can't believe I got to work with these people. So, and it's a whole brand new version of the song too, y'all. So for anyone who knows, or When I Get That Pony Road song, it's a whole different version, like familiar but different. So I can't wait for y'all
and
to
see it. And
Cindy,
of course, for those that don't know, she was the producer of the Buck film. And
yes.
She's been on this show a couple
director,
of times as well.
Director and
creator.
Director,
I'm
exactly.
Sorry. Yep.
You got yep. it. You got it. She put that whole thing together. She's awesome. Well, you guys have had her on the show. She's
yep.
my rock star cowgirl sister. I love her so much, and she's been so amazingly good to us. I can't, you know, just like you guys, y'all have believed in us for so long, and she believes in us, and it just means the world, you know. I mean, just really appreciate all the beautiful people that have come into our lives all because,
I
say this all the time, horses and music and horses, that's why. Blessing.
Well, you know, it's tough. You know, people forget how hard it is to get, you know, for people to go to a place like Nashville, for example, and to try and make it. It's not easy. It's something that, you know, we always
no.
talk about, you know, how you always think that these people make it overnight. They don't. I mean, it's, you know, there are a few, obviously, that do, but most of them are just there struggling. They're playing in clubs. They're trying to write music. They're trying to get their name out there any way they can. And if they don't have a niche audience like you did in the horse world, it's tough. I mean, you at least had that. You had people who love horses who could relate to you and to your music. And without that, it's tough to just be out there generally trying to make it in the world. And it's even tough when you have that niche audience, and you didn't do this overnight either. So.
No, like 20 plus years. <It's> still counting. So I don't think there's ever been an overnight success. Every artist that I'm crazy about that just really is someone who's really inspired me, they, you know, they talk about, you know, it is. It's hard.
I've been dying
down,
to ask
you know,
this
but,
ever since I heard that you and Cindy Neal. How did you and Cindy meet?
We met because of, and you know this beautiful woman, y'all have had her on the show, Miss Patty Hall, you know, the wonderful benefit CD
yep.
on Horses Wings. Well, Patty, as y'all know, she's my rock star cowgirl sister, too. I love her so very much. She's been so good to us. Another person who has believed in us for a very, very, very long time. And anyway, she is who initially introduced us to Buck in the first place. She's why I got to ride with Buck the first time. I'm just forever, ever in her debt and love her so very much. So she, after introducing us to Buck, she kept saying while Cindy was actually making, you know, the film and was out there traveling out there on the road following Buck and filming for the Buck doc, Patty kept saying, gosh, you guys just so need to meet Cindy. You guys are just going to really hit it off and she's going to love your music is what she kept saying, which was really sweet. And, you know, how things go. And to sort of use a Buckism, it takes the time it takes. Things happen when they're supposed to happen. And we got to meet Cindy, thanks to Sweet Patty. She set it up for when Cindy came to town to debut Buck here in Nashville at the Nashville Film Festival. So we met her that day and got to spend a little time and gave her some music, but, you know, certainly didn't push our music on her by any stretch. I never, ever want to do that to anybody. We just kind of struck up a friendship and would email back and forth. And then this last spring, you know, she was working on the Seven Clinic series and invited us and asked us if we would be interested in making music for it. And that's how it all came to be. And I am just so grateful. And she's an amazing woman, and we are very blessed to know her. So it's pretty dang cool. It's like, I still can't believe it. It's like, wow, I know these beautiful people. They're my friends.
Well, for those of you just joining us, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. We're here with Templeton Thompson in the co-host chair. She's taking over for Jamie today, who's out with her family, or Chad's family, rather. And she'll
you,
be back
Jamie.
Here.
She'll love,
be back here
love.
On Wednesday. I don't know. I don't know if Jamie's going to get her mic back. We'll see. Templeton does like mics. We all know that.
We know that I like to talk a lot. Oh, yes. I'm a talker.
Now, tell us, let's talk a little bit about the holidays and your horses. Tell us, first of all, what was it like? Where did you grow up? What state were you in?
I am a Texas girl forever and ever. Amen. Proud card-carrying. Yeah, so I, because of coming from a home of divorced parents, I was so lucky in that I not only got to have one Christmas, I got to have two Christmases, at least two. So it was like double the presents, and it rocked. It was awesome. And my mom and dad, they would really get into it, which was really cool. So, I mean, I talk about a very blessed young girl. I mean, when I woke up in the morning to the Christmas tree, it was full. It was full. And so I was just a really, really lucky girl growing up. And now I get to be a really lucky woman who's still growing up. You know, I'm all about Christmas time, y'all. I get all into it. I can't wait to start decorating. I'm like chomping at the bit. So that's going to start happening real soon this week. Oh, yeah.
Well, now, you too. Did you have ponies growing up? I mean, did you have horses when you were growing up?
I did. I've been very, very lucky and blessed there too. You know, I think I've told y'all before that I was basically riding before I was born, because that was kind of back in a time when doctors, I guess, weren't so careful with women who were preggers and riding, so weren't as concerned. And my mom is a wild child anyway. She's fearless. So she was pretty much riding with me until she was about 8 months pregnant. But she was also, when she was pregnant, people didn't really believe that she was, because she's so tiny anyway. So I came into this world crazy about horses, and I had a pony from the time I got here, you know, and I've had beautiful, amazing horses in my life, you know, always, always. The only time I had to go with that horses was when I moved to town, to Nashville, to pursue this music dream. And then I got lucky with friends who were kind enough to open their barns to me and let me come ride their horses and just spend time and be able to be around horses until I got my rock stars, my big, beautiful rock stars, Rainbow. My children's, my big four-legged children.
We can blame your mom for the horse
blame
gene.
My mom. Yeah, okay. And the thing is, too, and my dad, too, honestly, he's not as into horses by any stretch, but he also always made it possible for me to have horses, too. So, you know, again, you get into the divorced parent kind of thing, and, you know, I would live with him for a while and live with mom, and, you know, it gets complicated, but the blessing there for me was that I always had horses, and they always took care of me. You know, my parents took care of me, but my four-legged healers were always taking care of me. They were my big babysitters. So my love to all my beautiful babies who helped raise me. They did. They all raised me.
But now, were your parents, were they musical? Where did the music come from?
My dad is really musical. He really is. He loves to play guitar. He plays a little banjo. He plays a little fiddle. It's ideal that he doesn't play the fiddle, honestly, a lot. But he's okay at that. Love you, Dad. But he's really great on the guitar. Like, he's really into bluegrass. So he was really excited. You were talking about... I know you've talked about our song Still House Jane before, and that's like the one and only bluegrass song I've ever been a part of as a writer and a performer, and he was so excited about that because he has forever wanted me to make a bluegrass record and an album, and we're actually going to do that. We're going to write some more moonshine-inspired and just bluegrass-inspired songs. So
I've told you this before. I love that song. For some reason, it's my favorite song. I don't know why. It's catchy. It's kind of a sing-along song. I have it here. Let's play just a little bit of the beginning of it. For those that haven't heard this before, it's called Still House Jane, and there's a long beginning. We can talk over it here. I should cut this part out for the show.
Okay.
it's the beginning of the video here where you're goofing around. Now, this is song about moonshine, and of course, you got to remember that Templeton lives in Tennessee, where they're still doing this actively. So.
Absolutely. And my uncle's actively making up in Culpeper, Virginia.
Still on the moonshine.
There we go.
That's my uncle Chuck.
I mean, how catchy is that?
Thank you. You're awesome. Hey, and speaking of music, because it was going to drive me absolutely insane at like 3 in the morning, I was going to go, Little Big Town, Little Big Town. That's the artist. That's the band I was trying to tell y'all about, Roger Pistol.
Oh, okay.
Director of photography. Little Big Town. It was seriously going to make me crazy, so I found it. So anyway, he's so awesome. And oh my gosh, anyway. Okay, you know me. I'll talk. Beautiful people.
So that was Stillhouse Jane. I just wanted to say, you know that. Now, is it still illegal to make moonshine?
Is it still legal? Well, yeah.
Is it still illegal? Is it still illegal?
Oh, is it still illegal? Oh, apparently there are lots of people making it illegally. I understand, kind of all over the place. Apparently a lot around here, honestly. But what's really bizarre is I'm still trying to figure this out, because did y'all get to see some of that Moonshiner show? And it's now back on the air again for this season. But my Uncle Chuck, who just said, who's been stealing my moonshine? That was my Uncle Chuck saying that. And he's our inspiration, because he's been making moonshine since 1982 in Culpeper, Virginia. But that Moonshiner show follows all the folks that are doing it illegally, and or at least some of the folks that are doing it illegally. And I'm still trying to figure out how they do that, how they follow them on camera, and how they don't get arrested for doing it illegally because they're on camera. I don't understand how that works, but I think it's quite clever and interesting. And see, my Uncle Chuck was on the first season of Moonshiners. So if they repeat some of that, you can find the one where he's explaining to, oh, there's Tickle, right? The one guy, Tickle, who makes it illegal with he works for the guy, one of the main guys that makes it illegally, and I can't remember his name, but the guy who makes it illegally on the show met up with my Uncle Chuck so that he could sort of learn how you actually can get legal and make it legitimately, you know, without getting, you know, arrested. So anyway, it's quite fun. I got moonshine in my blood. I love it. It's a hoot.
Who would have thought, with all the cheap booze out, you know, out there, that after all these years, the moonshine would still be made, number one, still be illegal, number two, and people are still buying it, number three. And
isn't
it does
funny?
Look
well,
like
you know,
those stocks don't take many showers, I got to say, Templeton.
Kind of does. It kind of, but Uncle Chuck, he does. Okay. He's amazing. He is like, in fact, I got to tell you something really cute. He is one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet in your whole entire life. And what's really neat about Uncle Chuck and Aunt Jeanette, they welcome visitors to the still. That's what's so cool. And literally the day that we were making that video, it couldn't have been more perfect, because we got up crazy early, got over there, and had coffee with Uncle Chuck and Aunt Jeanette, and they were literally making. So when you're seeing all that steam coming up in the video and stuff, and Uncle Chuck is so much fun, he said, hey, you know what, you could climb up on that catwalk and get up by that pot where the steam's coming out, and you could dance around a little bit up there. And I'm like, oh, let's do that, but you gonna come with me? And so that's that part. There's a part in the video where he and I are literally up on that catwalk, and we're boogieing down. He is just so much fun. He loves what he does. He does it with amazing class and finesse. And believe me, he's one of the smartest people you'll ever meet. If you guys ever get up to Culpeper, Virginia, you can go see how he makes it. And it is science. It is true science. It is so complicated and cool.
Well,
they're just good people. I'm blessed.
It's amazing. It's amazing, Tempe. The guy who makes the moonshine's happy all the time. How about that?
Isn't that amazing how that works? Isn't that cool? I know. And I think I was a little happy, too. And so was Dan. We think we were getting a contact buzz from all the steam, because it's really loud when they're making, and you can smell it, you know. So all that steam, it was kind of like, woo, we're really happy. Making the moonshine video, so yeah.
Well, I have to ask you, it's called Stillhouse Jane, and of course your horse that is so famous, his name is Jane. Was that where the Jane came from?
Yeah, go figure, right? I mean, hello, of course. And what's really funny is because their distillery is called Stillhouse Distilleries, and we were walking around their place because we had sat on the porch there at the still back about a year and a half ago, and that's when they said, you know, y'all are write some moonshine songs, and it started coming together right there, and we had it written pretty quickly. And yes, of course my baby girl's name is in there. Just perfect. Perfect. I'm a big rock star girl. So, yep, we have fun. We have fun. We are blessed. Life is awesome. Oh, my God. I love you guys. I have so much fun with you guys on here. Sorry, Jamie, you're fired.
I just got a text from Jamie, actually.
You done lost your gig, cowgirl. No, I'm totally kidding. I love Miss Jamie.
I just got a text from Jamie, and she said, get Templeton off the air. No, she didn't, actually.
All right. Okay.
Actually,
them
she was asking.
Words.
We went to see the Bond movie. We went to see Skyfall over the weekend, and she wanted to know how we liked it. So that's what she was asking. But let's take a break here. We have a commercial to do, and then we have part four in our helmet series. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, I want to tell you, you know, it is the holidays, and it's time to think not only about getting gifts for yourself, but also providing the proper nutrition and really worrying about what we feed our horses. Omega Alpha cares about what goes into your horses and ponies. That is why Omega Alpha uses only natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. Dozens of different all-natural products are available to help your horses with all kinds of things, including their coat, their digestive tract, their kidney and liver function, muscles and joints, and just so much more. Anti-Flam is one of those products. Anti-Flam alleviates rheumatic pains and body aches, especially in the back, joints, legs, and feet. It can be used for both chronic and acute cases, and it acts as an anti-inflammatory in muscles and feet and joints, and also relieves pain and helps the repair of damaged tissues. Plus, it supplies sulfur to the body, important for many biochemical reactions in the body. You can see all of their products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com, or you can like them on Facebook by searching for Omega Alpha Equine. And keep in mind that these products are all natural. If you want to give your horse the best of the best, then take a look at Omega Alpha Equine first. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, right now we're going to take a little break for our part four in our helmet series that we're doing in cooperation with Charles Owen and Riders for Helmets and the Horse Radio Network. We present this special holiday series called Giving the Gift of Safety, Purchasing a Helmet for Your Loved One at Christmas. And we're going to hear from today a girl who realized the importance of helmets and was an extreme Mustang makeover competitor. We're going to hear from her right now. Glenda Geek here, founder of the Horse Radio Network. We are excited to bring you a special holiday helmet mini-series, Giving the Gift of Safety, Purchasing a Helmet for Your Loved Ones at Christmas. Today we hear the story of Anna Schaben, extreme Mustang makeover competitor and a non-helmet wearer her entire life. What changed her mind about helmets? We find out today. This series is sponsored by Charles Owen. When Charles Owen himself founded the company in 1911, his mission was to make products for a safer world. The incorporation of the latest technology in protection, fit, and ventilation allows you to focus on riding in the knowledge that your Charles Owen helmet will take the very best care of you. Safety, comfort, fit, all wrapped up in a helmet that is the epitome of style in each discipline. Why wait any longer? Nothing says you care more than the gift of a Charles Owen helmet for the holidays. There's a trained helmet fitter waiting in your local tack store, or you can find Charles Owen helmets at any of your favorite online tack outlets. Give the gift of safety and style this Christmas with Charles Owen. And now the story of Anna Schaben. Hi, Anna, and thank you for joining us today to tell your amazing story. Now, as I understand it from Lindsay at Riders for Helmets, you were not a helmet wearer originally.
No, I wasn't. I grew up in South Central Nebraska, and basically in that area, people just don't wear helmets. You know, we've kind of viewed them as that's what people who ride English use, and out here, you know, we use our horses for chasing cows and doing stuff like that, so we just never even think about buying a helmet or wearing one, and we really don't even have a place where you can get a helmet in this area. So, you know, I spent all my life not wearing a helmet until just recently.
And why did you start? What, you were in Extreme Mustang Makeover, as I understand it, right? You participated in that?
Yeah, I was in the Supreme Extreme Mustang Makeover, and Riders for Helmets sponsored helmet incentives there, and it was $500 for the highest score who signed up for the program, and you know, I saw the dollar signs. I was like, hey, how hard is it to wear a helmet? And maybe I can make some money doing it. I didn't have a helmet, so I talked to somebody who, well, it was Rebecca Bowman. And I talked to her, and she said she had one I could borrow. And I put it on for the competition. And I was actually, I didn't even ride for the competition. The part I was showing in was all in hand. So, I mean, it was kind of funny. you know, here I am, never wore a helmet, and I'm just leading a horse around, and I'm wearing a helmet. I know I have friends at home that kind of made fun of me, but they're like, I'm like, hey, I might make $500, so what the heck, you know?
It's worth it.
So, and I did actually win the $500.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and, you know, I thought, well, that wasn't so bad. So, anyway, that was the first time I had ever worn a helmet in my life, and I'm almost 40 years old. So, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, just in this area, I'm probably one of the only people who wear a helmet just because it's so not seen.
It's just,
you
not
know,
the
only
it's
place
not
you can,
the fashion there.
Right, and the only place you can actually, like, buy a helmet, you know, you can get a cheap helmet, like at a tractor supply store.
Right.
But other than that, you can't really even buy helmets in this area. So, it just never came across. And I've been riding horses since I was 2 years old. Used to ride, you know, about 8 hours a day. And it was just something I never did. And I took a lot of spills. And, you know, a helmet could have probably definitely helped me along, not getting injured as much as I did. But anyway, after my Supreme Extreme Mustang makeover, I came home and I was training a horse for another Extreme Mustang makeover. I'm in the Extreme Mustang barrel race. And I had just started riding my horse for that. And she had a little bit of buck to her. And one day I was out riding her on the trail and she took a pretty good hop. And I ended up landing right on my head and ended up in the hospital getting x-rays, and I had a pretty good concussion. So after that, I borrowed one of my friend's helmets because the doctor basically told me, don't ride anymore until, you know, several months from now, so your brain can get a chance to heal. And I told her that that wasn't an option. And
typical horse yeah, girl there, you know, Anna.
Yeah, I know. She sounded like my chiropractor. I don't know. These people all told me not to ride. And I told her, you know, I could maybe take like a couple of days off, but I wasn't going to like not ride at all. And she said, well, you know, if you can, you need to get a helmet and wear that. And so I thought, well, you know, had I not been in that Extreme Mustang makeover and wore one for that incentive program, I probably would have just said, oh, forgive it, you know. But I really didn't think they were going to be comfortable, and I thought they would be, you know, hot. And just wearing one that little bit of time, I thought, oh, you know, it wasn't really that bad. And so I borrowed a helmet from my friend, and I ordered one online. And since then, I have been wearing a helmet every time I ride.
And now, have you found it? Now, has it gotten to the point yet where when you're putting it on, it's just, you don't even think about it anymore?
Yeah, you know, it was funny. The other day I was riding, and I got done, and I didn't even realize I hadn't taken it off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and if people live in an area where it's hard to find helmets, there's great places you can get them online. You just have to measure your head and find, you know, one that's going to work for you. I know several of my friends now have started wearing helmets since I wear one.
Oh, you started,
you know,
a trend. Well, congratulations for that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, well, when you live in an area and it's just nobody wears it and somebody might make fun of you, you know, when you see somebody else wearing one, then it's like, oh, well, if they're wearing one, I can wear one. And then they only kind of both of us. But
you know, it's so interesting that we have, most states have laws about wearing helmets when you ride your bike. Yet, you know, people don't think twice about that anymore. You just put your helmet on, especially if, you know, like you're riding on the road, you put your helmet on and you go. And, you know, it's become the thing. And I think that's the same way, and what you just said, it's the same way with helmet wearing. When it becomes the thing, then nobody thinks about it anymore. Well, that's terrific. Obviously now a convert, and thank you and congratulations, by the way, for helping protect your head, because you can only take so many, I'm sure your doctor told you this, you can only take so many bounces on your head before it becomes a serious problem.
Right. Well, and you know, like this week I'm in that Extreme Mustang barrel race. And, you know, if you ever watch barrel races, you don't see very many people wearing a helmet.
Nope.
It's just one of those things that I guarantee you, while I'm down there, I'm going to be wearing my helmet.
Well, good. And you're going to be setting an example for everybody else. And that's where it starts. I mean, it starts with one person. Somebody has to be the one to start it. And, well, thank you, Anna, for being that one. We appreciate you joining us today, and best of luck. Best of luck at the barrel race.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you to Riders for Helmets for everything they do for helmet awareness and safety. You can visit them at riders4helmets.com. And thank you to Charles Owen. You can visit them at charlesowen.co.uk. And you can hear all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Talk to you again next week. Well, we're back here on Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Templeton Thompson filling in for Jamie today, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair as well. Well, Templeton, we do have some news from the weekend I'd like to get to, and in the racing front, a horse that we have covered from the time he started racing, I think, and that's Shackleford, actually made his final career start over the weekend. He won the Friday's $400,000 Clark Handicap at Churchill Downs. And we're going to take a listen right now to hear how he did that. Here's the race call.
And they're off in the Clark Handicap. Mission Impossible flashes early speed on the outside, and Shackleford is through on the inside. Shackleford is the leader. It's Shackleford out in front to take charge in D racing in second, and then Eye of the Leopard to the inside with the gray Mission Impossible. Lunar Victory is racing out wide, now drifting in, racing in fifth, Urban Courage in sixth. Cease is in seventh, Steelcase is in eighth, and at the back of the field is Fast Falcon. They went through the quarter in 24-1, and Shackleford has got a comparatively easy lead here of a length and a half over Take Charge Indy, letting him get away in second, and then on the outside, Mission Impossible is in third, Eye of the Leopard over racing to the inside in fourth, Lunar Victory is in fifth. A break of two lengths back to Bourbon Courage. Cease on that one's outside. Steelcase just nudged along, and at the back of the field is Fast Falcon the half in 48-3 as they go through halfway in the 138th running of the Clark Handicap. Shackleford has another half mile of his career to race, and he has the lead in the Clark by a length and a half. Take Charge Indy is in second. Lunar Victory now towards the inside. Mission Impossible has already been ridden along. So too is Bourbon Courage. Eye of the Leopard has checked out as they now begin to make the turn. And Shackleford is still in hand around the outside. Take Charge Indy is now in second and taking dead aim at Shackleford. But Shackleford has the lead into the lane. Take Charge Indy now in second. On the inside is Lunar Victory. Then down the outside, staying on his Bourbon Courage. Shackleford, though, has turned away. Take Charge Indy. The last to challenge will be Bourbon Courage. But the one who's got the courage in spades is Shackleford. He's out in front, but he needs the line. Shackleford wins the Clark. Shackleford.
Well, there you go. Shackleford obviously winning, really went from, was leading the whole way. He added $266,000 to his bankroll, and that brings him up to $3.1 million for a career. He concludes his racing career with 6 wins and 20 starts. Seems like he won more than that just from our following him, and now he's going off to be a happy boy, making lots of girls happy as well. So he, I'm sure, will be a very popular stallion. So that's what happened with Shackleford, and another one of the three-year-old class, Jennifer, that we've talked about all this time, is now retired. It seems like since we started, all the big names we've talked about have been retired to stud at this point.
Mucho Macho Man, still going.
I know. We picked the right one there. We did. We picked the right one there. Well, now, Templeton, what breed are your two horses?
Course, they are quarter horses. Bo, actually, though, he's an appendix, so he actually goes back to Aladar. Pretty dang cool. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's really interesting, because looking at them, Jane looks to me, she looks more like she would be the appendix, like she would have the thoroughbred, but she's full pure quarter, and Bo, because Bo has that classic quarter horse, big old butt, you know, that big old motor and just the big chunky Arnold Schwarzenegger build. Jane is very refined, but it's actually appropriate, right? Because Jane is a girl, she's a mare, and so she's very refined and girly, and Beau is very big and muscular and manly. So that they, and they're 2 weeks apart. They're half brother and sister. So they
Oh, really?
Are,
okay.
Yeah. So It's amazing. I'm looking at their pictures right now on my computer screen, and then I'm looking out the window and looking at them munching down on their hay. Jane just got frisky. I don't know if she was hearing that Shackleford race call or something. Maybe she was hearing that, and she was tail in the air running around like a wild child a second ago. I don't know what got her boogered.
Well, Jennifer got to do a fun ride over the weekend on her quarter horse, Beaker. And Jennifer, we went down to, we've had them on the show before. We have this neat thing that goes through Florida called the Florida Greenway, and it actually goes from the Atlantic Ocean all the way across Florida through Ocala and out to the Gulf of Mexico. So it crosses the entire state, and it's a greenway. It's a linear park that goes the whole way. And through the whole thing are bike riding trails, horse riding trails, hiking trails, and also carriage trails. You can take wagons and carriages out there. But we went out to one of the trailheads and rode. And, Jennifer, you were so excited because you got to see Wayne and I, my brother and I, went out on our bikes and did the bike trail. And you and his wife went out on the horses. And you got to see some amazing sights that you didn't think you'd see in Florida, didn't you?
That was pretty amazing because I didn't realize where the – when you go out, the horse trails are not as well marked as the bicycle trails. So we pretty much head out and kind of follow the footprints and the poop piles for everywhere else because you really can't tell where you're going. And we were out for about an hour, and the terrain changed rather abruptly from the typical flatlands and dried marshes that we see around here to something like moon craters. We were going up these really tiny, short, steep hills with giant roots hanging out the sides of them and then clambering back down coral rock cliffs. And it was pretty kind of – it was really cool and exciting. And then we got to a section where we were on what appeared to be a ridge of a small mountain in Ocala terms, hill.
In Florida terms, yeah.
Yeah, mountain for us. It was 30 feet high. It's a mountain. And I looked down. I said, Pam, don't let your horse drift left here because it was straight down 30, 50 feet, just straight down. But it was all forested, so I thought it was a natural topography of the area because there were giant trees growing everywhere. It looked like it was just there. And I did a little research when I got back, and we were actually riding along the edge of one of the original locks from the canal, because originally it was supposed to be a transport canal, and this was one of the locks, so it was very large and very deep, if you can imagine a lock for a giant ship to go through. But Mother Nature had taken over, so it really had a fascinating, surreal kind of a thing to it, and all this grass growing up along the edges of it. And I put a picture on the Facebook page. It's called Pampas Grass, and I don't know if we put that there or if it just grew there itself, but it was so thick you literally could not see, and neither could the horse, where he was putting his feet because the pampas grass was so thick even on the trail. And I'm thinking to myself, Beaker, just be really careful because it's really steep over there.
Wow. It is cool. They actually started Templeton building the canal. What the idea was to put a canal across the state so that the ships didn't have to go all the way down around the Keys and then back up the other side. So they thought, well, we'll put a canal like the Panama Canal. And, well, they got, you know, partway into the project and decided it was way too expensive and they just ran out of money and they never finished it. So that's when they made it into this linear park. And they had dug a good portion of the canal, so what Jennifer came across was one of the portions that they had dug out, and it was like 1,500 feet. But I'll tell you what, when you're in there, even on the bike trails we were on, it is like being in a primeval forest. It kind of reminded me of one of the movies that I hated so much down there, Jennifer, that were made in New Zealand.
Lord of the Rings movies, yeah.
Lord of the Rings. It kind of reminded me of Lord of the Rings, the topography and the forests you'd see in Lord of the Rings. It is just probably, you know, you don't see that too many places that you can actually get out on your horses or on your bike and see that kind of what looks like leftover from, you just expect to see a dinosaur around the corner.
How fun.
Well, if you're in the marshy sections, you will, Glenn. It's called an alligator.
Yes, no. Exactly.
Exactly.
They use it as jumps along the trail there. But it was fun. We had a good time.
Wow.
And it's one of the advantages of living in Florida. You know, you get little things, perks like that. And the nice part is it comes right through Ocala. So, and they have trailheads every once in a while. And you, at these trailheads, they have bathrooms, and they have camping, and they have places to tie the horses, and they have picket lines, and they have water troughs, and they have you can they have places to hose your horses. It's really set up for horse people, you know, to go out and do their thing. So it is really nice what the state's done with that.
Yeah, we didn't. As I said, we really didn't quite know where we were going. We just every half mile or so there'd be a little red dot on a tree, which marks the trail, and we're riding along. We were probably out for a good hour, hour and a half, and sun was starting to get a little low. And Pam, who I was riding with, very wisely said, "You know, I wonder if this trail really does make a loop, because we assumed it went out and back." And so she called back to home base because Glenn and Wayne had by that time finished their ride and were hanging out imbibing in some cold beverages at the horse trailer. And Wayne kindly walked up to the ranger station and looked at the map, and he said, "Well, it really doesn't make a loop. It goes all the way across the state to the next state if you ride long enough."
Oh, man. Oopsie.
So we turned around.
There would have been a search party after you guys.
Hey, before we play one of your husband's songs, I got a news story, and I've been dying to do this one because it's not every day we get to do the naked man in the news story, and that relates to a horse. We get them occasionally, but we don't get them a lot, so I had to take advantage of this one. And this was in London, England. Police and eyewitnesses say a naked man had climbed atop an equestrian statue in the heart of Whitehall, London's government district. A Scotland Yard spokesman said the man, believed to be in his 30s or 40s, had been sitting atop the statue for the better part of 2 hours. And you guys can see a picture in your show notes. He was actually standing on the head of the rider of the horse. And he was probably three, four stories up at that point. I assume he didn't stand up there the whole time because he was balanced precariously up there. I'm assuming alcohol had something to do with it. In this story, they hadn't gotten him down yet. They were trying to talk him down safely. Can you imagine the crowd this would draw in the United States, and I'm sure it drew in London, this guy naked on top of a horse statue?
Bless his heart. Well, he was practicing for Cirque du Soleil or something like that. Or Cheval or one of
I think he got some of your uncle's moonshine is what I think.
He may have. It's very possible. You can get it everywhere.
That's what moonshine does to me. The man's motives aren't clear, and London's late autumn temperatures are about 50 degrees, so it was chilly, to say the least, while he was on a bronze statue in the middle of London. So it's not every day I get to do one of those stories. One other quick story here, the ASPCA is doing a good thing. They're providing $250,000 for hay in an equine bailout. They're actually giving $250,000 to 53 equine welfare organizations and animal control agencies across 19 states. And, of course, we all know that hay has gotten so expensive this year. So they're helping out. Last year they gave $150,000, and this year they raised it because hay is so bad, with bales costing up to $25 in some regions. So good for the
ASPCA. Square bales at that high? Good for them. You guys rock.
Jennifer, what do you pay for alfalfa down here, Jennifer? 20?
Wow, that's wonderful.
Actually, alfalfa is, if you're buying a regular size, you know, 50 or 60-pound bale, you're going to pay about $17.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah, a regular, just crappy old coastal hay we get down here is $6.25 to $7.
Really? So it's more expensive where you guys are.
Yeah, you guys are in a region in Tennessee where they actually make hay, so it's probably a little bit cheaper.
Right. Well, yeah, we're so blessed. I get hay off my mom's place. She has some land not too far from where we are, and so a wonderful man bales that for us, so we get beautiful round rolls. And then when I need square bales, I find them from wonderful people who are friends, and I just bought some gorgeous orchard grass and some clover and fescue mix to get ready for the video shoot, just so I'd have some square to have in the hay net, you know, for my kiddos when we were traveling around going to the different locations. And I think I paid no more than $4 a bale. So, you know, we're very blessed. So, yeah, so good. Yes, kudos to the ASPCA. God bless y'all for doing that. That's beautiful because Lord knows their baby's needing it, you know. So, yay, that makes me happy. That warms my heart and soul.
Awesome.
Well, now your husband also was in, obviously is into music and is quite a musician in his own right. Was he always, did he grow up playing too?
Oh yeah, he's such a rock star. I know y'all know that, but for everyone out there who doesn't know his music, he's so amazing. He's been doing music since he was a teenager. He knew that's what he wanted to do right off the bat, which is so cool. And he's just got it in his bones. He's so musical and so incredibly talented. So he's been doing this forever. I mean, he was already, he was into at least maybe his second publishing deal, you know, on Music Row when I met him, second or third. I mean, he's been writing songs and playing music for a living for a very, very, very long time. He taught me everything I know, and he's incredible. So he says he loves to be in the fine print, but I'm really grateful that you're putting him in the spotlight today. It makes me very happy.
Well, you know, he has his own, and it's on your website, he has his own CD.
Yep.
A couple of
sure
them,
does.
Actually, and one of the songs, I was listening to a bunch of the songs yesterday, and I just loved one song called Carny Clown. And it, probably because I can relate, I used to own an acting company, Jennifer and I did, so we can kind of relate to the song. And I think you'll see why in a minute, but I just loved this song. And I don't know, is this something he played? Was it a cover or was it his?
Oh, that's his. All those songs. It's his album. It's called Tall Tales and Short Stories.
Yeah.
And they're all songs that he's written. Yeah. Because when we go on the road, you know, people will ask, do you have a CD? And, you know, he does. And he could have 10 for all the songs that he's written and how amazingly talented he is. So we need to kind of start making a point to have, you know, CDs of his on hand. And I will tell you, too, on the Songs from Seven Clinics CD, a big part of what he did, his musical part, along with the songs we recorded for it, he went in and wrote beautiful musical cues, instrumental pieces for the Seven Clinics with Buck Branham and DVD series. So part of that Songs from Seven Clinics CD are the full versions of those beautiful instrumentals he wrote, some that actually are on the project and then some that didn't work for it, but I wanted everyone to hear. I mean, he just sits upstairs in the studio and it just falls out. He's just, I mean, I'm biased. He's my man. He's my rock star character.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, that's something that not too many people have, you know, and it just that it just falls out like that. That's a true blessing. Well, let's take a listen to Carny Clown right after I tell you a little bit about EasySignsOnline.com. You know, you want to go to EasySignsOnline.com/holiday today and take advantage of a special 15% discount coupon. Now, time is running out. You only have a couple of more weeks to get a custom product made for that special person in your life, and there's nothing better than a custom sign from Easy Signs Online, whether it's a stall nameplate or a vinyl banner or a farm sign for out front or a carved farm sign, one of the really fancy ones, or a business or church sign. Whatever your need is for the holiday gift-giving season, you can make it at EasySignsOnline.com. And what's really cool about their website is you designed it along the way. It tells you exactly what the price is going to be, but you designed every option, every font, every color, you know, how you want it designed, how you want it laid out. All of that is done on the website at EasySignsOnline.com/holiday, and it can't be any easier. And because you're a listener to the Horse Radio Network, you can get a 15% discount coupon and free shipping for this holiday season. You just use the code HRN12. That's HRN12, and you'll get your 15% off coupon, and you'll also get free shipping by visiting EasySignsOnline.com/holiday. And I talked to Wayne over there, and he said that there have been orders coming in from our listeners, so we appreciate that. And as I said, if you want the perfect sign or perfect gift that really says you've thought about it and you've done your homework, then it's a custom gift from EasySignsOnline.com. All right, this is Carny Clown. Sam Gay!
My man!
I'm just a carny clown. I live for the roaring crowd. My stage is a grimy tent, which I share with elephants and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, joined at a tender age, with dreams of seeing far off places. But now that I've been coast to coast, the thing I think I miss the most are friends who do not have tattoos. Oh my. Sometimes I wonder what a real life would be like, two kids and a wife, and going home each night. And when the circus rolled round to our sleepy little town, we would join in the crowd and laugh at the carny clown. My best friend stands 3'4". His name is Ernest McLemore. He juggles fire and walks on stilts. Yeah, he lives bigger than he's built. He's petite, but larger than life. Oh my. Sometimes I wonder what a real life would be like, two kids and a wife, and going home each night. And when the circus rolled round to our sleepy little town, we would join in the crowd and laugh at the carny clowns. I'm just a carny clown till the late show lights go down. Then I wipe off this grease paint grin and climb back on the train again, and roll and roll and roll. Oh my, oh my, my, my.
Sam Gay and Carney Clown, and of course that is Templeton's husband. I just love that song, and as I said, I can kind of relate to it. Was he in the circus? Is that where the inspiration came from? Is that where you met him? Was he a clown in the circus?
He was a clown in the circus. That's exactly it. No. But you know, it is funny though, because we tend to call ourselves carnies anyway, just because, especially like when we're on the road doing lots of different, you know, events across the country, that's sort of like when we would greet people out on the road, hey carny, you know. So I think it was him writing about things to come, and but he could tell you more about the story behind the song on that. But he is, where is he? I don't know. Are you still asleep? No, he's not. He's been up and about. Well, if I walk to the other room, I might lose the call, though. The tin roof. This is the spot to be, so I don't want to lose.
Oh, there you go. one of the things about being in the country, you get all that great reception with internet.
It's lovely.
And cable.
Yes. Awesome. It is totally awesome. We were always saying, "Wow, it's great connection." Yeah. No, but hey. You know, aren't you just amazed, though, like, in general, that we have all the technology that we do have? It is truly amazing. Sometimes I'm like, I can't believe it, honestly, that it's all happened so fast.
Well, for you guys, you know, being independent musicians like you are, you know, the internet has been a godsend for you guys, because you can just get the word out there so much better than you could ever do it before. I know we're gonna take a break here. We have a guest coming up,
okay.
But I want to talk to you after the guest too about how people can book you for concerts and to actually have you out to their events, because that's something that maybe not a lot of people realize that they can do. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, we have. Every Monday at 10 o'clock, Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation joins us, and we do a little review of what happened in the previous week on her wacky website called horsenation.com. Good morning, Leslie.
Hey guys, how's it going? So nice, so nice to have you on the show, Templeton. You're so talented.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's nice to have you here. It's nice to hear your beautiful voice. Thank you.
And you know what? You're both Tennessee girls too.
Yes. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Knoxville. No way. You said Knoxville?
Knoxville, yep.
No,
where do you live?
We're in Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're about 45 minutes west of Nashville. Nash Vegas, as we call it.
Right. Very good.
I'll tell you what, Leslie, and of course Knoxville is more towards the eastern part of the state, and one of our favorite things to do when we lived in Lexington was to head out to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. You're so close to there. Do you ever go?
Oh, gosh. Every once in a blue moon I will go. I like going to the mountains, but sometimes the Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg can be a little bit touristy. But we do have Dollywood.
It's kind of like the beach in the middle of the mountains is what it's like. It's like the boardwalk in the middle of the mountains.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have Dollywood. We have the Dixie Stampede, which I highly recommend. It's like a dinner theater, kind of like medieval times, but Dolly Parton owns it. And so it's just, and there's tons of horses in it, and they're doing all sorts of, I mean, there's the guy that's riding, you know, 5 horses at once and jumping through the ring of fire and group races. It's good times. It is good times.
Now, I've heard, too, my brother is a regular out at Gatlinburg in the Pigeon Forge, and he says that Dollywood, which is in the amusement park owned by Dolly Parton, is absolutely beautiful Christmas time, that they totally deck it out with lights, and it's just, it becomes a place to go at Christmas.
Yes, yeah, it is. I haven't been for Christmas for a while, but, yeah, it's supposed to be something to behold.
Well, there you go.
Speaking of Dolly Parton,
yeah.
I got a fun factoid about Dolly and my amazing, incredibly talented and wonderful husband, Sam, on a video shoot a very long time ago, because Sam actually used to work as a production assistant a lot on music video shoots back with one of the biggest music video companies in Nashville, Beaton Flanagan, and they're just beautiful, wonderful people. But all that being said, he was working on a shoot with Dolly Parton a while back, and he's so much better to tell this story, but she was so wanting a bologna sandwich, and he, you know, Sam never meets a stranger, and he's just such a friendly, wonderful, loving man, and so they just bonded, and at some point in the course of that shoot, Sam asked for someone, I guess who was in craft services, to go, if they didn't mind, getting some white bread and bologna, and so that Dolly could have a bologna sandwich. And apparently when Sam went to knock on her dressing room door the next time, she had made him a bologna sandwich. Dolly Parton made my rock star husband a bologna sandwich. How cool is that? Oh, my gosh.
That's amazing.
Isn't that awesome? It's just awesome. And another fun little factoid, not to, because y'all can tell. I know y'all know I can talk. But he also is Vince Gill's stunt butt in the video that we'll be probably playing a lot on CMP and GAC right now. It's Blue Christmas, Vince Gill's version of Blue Christmas. And it's a kind of set, and Vince Gill is dressed as a soldier. And so when you see parts where it looks like Vince Gill is sort of walking away in his soldier getup, that's Sam. That's my husband, Sam. And he has a funny little thing, too, that Vince Gill said something to him, like they were on their way back from, like, where Sam had to kind of get into Vince's outfit to do the stunt doubling kind of stuff, the stunt butt doubling. And I think Sam said something like, all right, Vince, I guess I got to go get in your pants. And Vince said something like, well, you could at least buy me a drink first. I mean, there was some, like, hilarious little exchange between the two of them on set. So my husband's a rock star.
Wow. He was a butt double.
He's
a butt
double.
Isn't that awesome?
That's funny. That's funny. First, I thought you were going to say you can see his naked butt in the video, but I was kind of glad you said
it.
No,
it's a family show.
Yeah.
No.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
All right.
No worries.
Well, let's talk about Horse Nation. We got a couple things that you wanted to talk about this week. One was daylight saving time. Doesn't it suck that most people that have real jobs now have to go out before it even gets pretty much, you know, light in the morning, they're heading off to work, and when they come home, it's dark, and there's no time to ride anymore.
It makes it so difficult for working horse people. You know, at the barn that I keep my horses at, it's an awful lot. It's mainly adult amateurs, and they have a real tough time in the winter. You know, by the time they get out to the barn, it's dark or getting dark, and a few of the really determined ones will go out and ride in the, which is actually riding in the dark is not such a bad thing. I think it makes you, you know, what do they say? When you lose one sense, you become, your other senses kind of heighten. So you can, like when you're not, you know, when your sort of eyesight is diminished, you know, it's dark, it feels like you can feel your horse better, if that makes sense. And you hear the rhythm of their gates better. I don't know. That's fine. I think that's the bright side of riding in the dark.
That makes sense, but, actually. That makes a whole lot of sense.
But so we had our anonymous columnist named, who goes by the Riding Instructor and writes a column every other week, every other Monday, called The Riding School, wrote a column last week called A Bright Side to the Dark Side of the Year, and just sort of looking on the bright side of daylight saving. And she as a riding instructor, you know, it's especially tough because she can't teach lessons by the time kids get out after school. You know, it's just too dark to ride outside. So they do have a small indoor arena that's not big enough to jump in. But she said, I try to focus on what we can do instead of what we can't. Lessons become about new skills, time to learn leg yields, flying lead changes, jump a gymnastic without stirrups, without reins, without stirrups or reins, or approaching new skills in new ways. Just kind of getting creative and maybe zeroing in on, a specific skill or two, instead of, you know, it's when you don't have the luxury of having the big arena and all the jumps set up. And also taking advantage of, you know, sort of indoor time, like getting your barn really clean and organized and all your tackling, and really putting in some good quality grooming time on your horse, so that maybe this, after you come out of the winter feeling refreshed and ready for spring, because you've put in all that hard work.
It's a tough time of year for instructors, because, you know, you live, that's your living, you're making your living doing that, and as you said, kids are back in school, so they're limited at the time, you end up working every weekend, you know, that you get a nice day, and then it seems like, for some reason, in January and February, it snows or rains or there's ice every weekend, and then you can't do your lessons then either, or they're always canceling. It's just a tough way to make a living in the winter if you live in the northern states and you're an instructor without a nice indoor. It's very difficult.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who started that anyway? It just drives me nuts.
The winter thing?
the winter thing. No, I got that. I think I figured that out. But the daylight saving time. I actually wanted to Wikipedia that the other day. I mean, I've always heard it's something to do with golf, so that people could play golf. Surely that's not the case.
No, I don't think. I always heard it was because of kids in school, they didn't have to wait at the bus stop in the dark. But I don't know if that's true either. That's what my parents always told me. But I don't know if that's true either. Jennifer can look it up for us in the meantime here. But all right,
okay.
Leslie, you also do a thing every week where you like you need an excuse to do this, by the way, where you shop for horses.
Right. We have. Every Monday we have Caitlin Jansen, who's one of our writers, does a weekly Cater wish list. And Cater, if you're not familiar with it, is the Communication Alliance to Network Thoroughbred X-Horses, X-Race Horses. And basically it's a website, CannerUSA.org, if you want to check it out, that provides retiring thoroughbred race horses with opportunities for new careers. So there's all of these listings for horses that are at the track or just off the track. And you could spend all day just, and lots of people do, spend all day kind of combing through the classifieds, looking at the various horses and kind of daydreaming about I'd like to own that one, I'd like to own that one. So Caitlin goes through all the listings in every week, and she picks top five horses that she thinks would make really great sport horse prospects. So if you are one of those folks that's addicted to browsing the Canter listings when the boss isn't looking, you can sort of consolidate your race horse shopping into one place, one stop X race horse shopping. And I think it's just really fun to look at because a lot of the horses are just super yummy.
I love the name of this one out of Delaware Park, Maxie's Nimble Feet. Can you imagine the announcer having to say that over and over again during a race? Maxie's Nimble Feet. Forest
wow.
Imp is one of them. Forest Imp, by the way, Forest Imp is $4,000, so he's not too impy. And then there's another great name here, too, that you had this week. It was Midnight Diva, which is kind of what Templeton is. So,
thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I like, speaking of, thank you very much, there's one named Elvis, I see. So, Elvis. Yeah. Wow, I'm on the website myself. This is awesome. In fact, I was going to post it, too, at CanterUSA.org, right? So, that's really cool. We've got a... And bless your hearts for doing that. And we've got a dear friend in Texas. It's interesting. This is called Canter. And I wonder if they're related at all, who has an organization called Lope out of Texas.
Yep.
And I think, yep, okay, Lynn, she's awesome.
Yep,
and
Lynn,
I think
Lynn
she
Reardon.
Does quarters. And yeah, Lynn Reardon, exactly. Is she doing quarter horses and thoroughbreds, like quarters off
yeah,
the track
she does.
Too?
She does both. Yeah, I think she does both.
Okay.
And we've had her on the show a number of times. There's a woman who in 2012 has had more heartache and hardship with floods and just all kinds of things that to try and set her back, but she just keeps going. Well, that's enough talk about adoptable horses. We have to get on with girls in bikinis riding horses now, because that obviously is more important to me. So your next article is Unthankful Horses of Reality TV. I got to say, you know, I don't mind pretty girls in bikinis, but boy, oh boy, I don't know where you found this video, but they are just ripping these horses' mouths out.
I think these pictures, do you ever watch America's Next Top Model? It's good quality programming. Templeton, you watch it?
I've seen it. I've watched it. I don't watch it. I'm not saying I watch it all the time, but yeah, I have watched it. So is this from that? Is that what you're, I don't know what y'all are looking at, so... Okay.
Yeah. Basically, for this story, Amanda Ronan, who does a weekly television or movie review for us every Friday, kind of went back and had a look at the role horses have played in various reality television shows. And one of them she dug up was apparently there was an episode of America's Next Top Model where they're doing photo shoots of girls in bikinis riding horses on the beach.
Which I'm all for, by the way. Just saying, I'm good with that.
We're sure you are. Yeah.
In bikinis, out of bikinis, whatever way they want to ride horses on the beach is fine with me. I'm good.
As long as they're being good to the horses, you know. It's like
that's correct.
That, some of that stuff that makes me crazy. That stuff, if they don't have a clue, you know. And you said something about, it just breaks my heart.
Yeah, I'm not sure that these girls actually have a clue, and their horses seem to be being a pretty tolerant. One girl appears
and they are.
Oh my
god!
Yeah, it was. You know, that's one thing you should think about before you put girls that don't know how to ride on horses on the beach. Is the fact that you're going to have some issues. It's not going to be perfect.
That seems crazy, actually. It's like you wonder why, you know, that I don't know. I think people sometimes just don't think that, you know, oh, it's, you know,
they're big dogs. No. You know,
right.
I mean, that, and yeah. Have a relationship and treat them right and don't put them in an awkward situation. Oh, you got to watch me. I'm all about the horses. Got to take care of the horses. Got to keep them safe.
Yeah.
Nice.
So you would definitely not like this video she also posted of from Full Metal Jousting. And one of, did you ever, if you've seen any of that?
Yeah, we actually.
I saw this episode and I saw that, what you're going to talk about happen. And go ahead.
Well, one of the jousting contestants, Landon, punched his horse in the face.
I remember that. And they scolded him and kicked him out. I was
That's right.
Proud of the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, off the show. Yep. They kicked him off the show. And they made a big deal about it. They obviously, made it a point to say that this isn't the right thing to do. So they really did do the right thing there.
Right.
That was
shocking.
They could have not shown that. They could have just ignored it ever happened, and they didn't. So,
right.
I give them credit
right.
for that.
Right.
And then Paris Absolutely. Hilton falls off a horse was another video. First of all, I never knew Paris Hilton rode a horse. And the fact that they're loading her into a helicopter tells me that she didn't do so well.
I think she was fine. I think this is one of my all-time favorite videos. It's the horse starts cantering, and she loses her balance and starts screaming and then falls off. And I think she was actually fine, but they made a big, five-starred her out.
Oh, my gosh. You know what's scary, though? Because you just never, the flip side of that is, because obviously she is fine, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But you never know, though, too. Like you were talking about with falls on your head, and boy, there have been times where I scared myself, going, okay, I think everything's okay, but it's hard to
right.
know, and maybe they were just being super extra cautious too.
But if we're being absolutely honest, Leslie is absolutely right. Every horse girl watching this cheered a little.
Oh Lord, see, I haven't seen what y'all are looking at. You guys are gonna have to send these things to me because I'm just having to envision what y'all are talking about.
We're gonna have to
let me know.
I guarantee you every horse girl was cheering a little bit seeing Paris.
Yeah, a little, just
horse.
A little bit. Yeah. I have the feeling she's been dropped on her head before. Anyway, so.
Here we go.
Oi, oi.
Leslie, we got to mention that this segment is brought to you by EquityMFG.com, and that is the Shake and Fork and the Flex and Fork. You can find them both at EquityMFG.com. Make a terrific holiday gift for anybody in your family that's in charge of cleaning stalls. If you're the one that has to clean the stalls, then I'd be putting this on my Christmas list because we don't use anything else here at the farm now, and I know many of our hosts who have gotten these things, just love them. And you say, how can you fall in love with a manure fork? Leslie, can you fall in love with a manure fork?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See?
love it for shake for me.
I want one. What's the – because I heard you guys talking about this like the last time I called into the show, and I thought, dang, I need that. Where is that? Help.
MFG.com. It is the best. Now, I use a general rule of thumb, and I think Leslie would probably agree with this. If you're cleaning, let's say, three or less stalls, a day, then I would probably go – I think you'll be fine with the Flex and Fork, which is this incredible manure fork that has a basket that's almost indestructible. I get in trouble every time by the company by saying it's indestructible because apparently it will break if you run a steamroller over it. But so far, my 200-pound body has not been able to break this thing, and I've stepped on it a couple times. It is very tough, not like the cheapies you buy at the store. This is top quality, high quality stuff that will last. But that's for three stalls or less a day. If you clean more than three stalls a day, then I would take a look at the Shake and Fork, which is the motorized one that does all the work for you. And I know you're using that one too, aren't you, Leslie?
I am. I love it. It feels like it saves me time, and I'm saving bedding. I'm not wasting so much bedding. And I adore it. I think it's just a no-brainer of an investment for anyone for whom stall cleaning is a daily part of their routine. So Especially
But a lot of you have heard us do this commercial before, and you've just been putting it off. Well, now's the time. Go to equitymfg.com. We're not just saying this. Yes, it is a paid commercial, but we do like these things. We don't do commercials on here for stuff we don't agree in or believe in, and I know Leslie's the same way. So they really do work. You really will not want to use any other manure fork ever. You'll go for that one first because it's just works. It's sturdy. You don't get all the problems that you have with the other ones. You're not going to find with these at equitymfg.com. Thank you, Leslie from horsenation.com, for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Have a
great
week,
darling. Nice to
right.
meet you.
Happy holidays.
I'm so getting one of these things. I need this. I'm looking at this. Oh, dang, because I keep buying, you know, I get the ones and they break. And, I mean, I don't, Jane and Vogue don't stay in their stalls. They don't have stalls per se. We have a 12 by 24 shed row barn, and they go in if they want to, and most of the time they're not in there. But so I don't have to do a lot of cleaning.
If you if you have to clean paddocks, go for the flexion fork. That's what we use here. And one of the problems we have here in Florida is we have these big live oak trees. And they have these little roots that go out. And we're all the time getting caught on these little roots from the trees and bushes. You know how you go to scoop, because we have sand, so you're going to scoop up. You're going to scoop up the pile, and then it gets caught. And then you do what Aubrey calls the flicking thing, where it flies up in your face. That doesn't happen with these because they have a suspension system built into the tines. So it's kind of cool how it works that you don't get that whole flicking problem. So for you with the grass, it would be perfect. So,
it would
definitely
be,
check it out.
Okay, thanks. I'm excited.
Well, before we let you go, how can people get you to come out and do concerts for them? And that's something that people may not realize is you and Sam will come out and you'll do an entire concert for their show, for their benefit. If they're doing a fundraiser, whatever it is, you're available to come out and do those things.
Absolutely. Just pay us lots and lots of money. I'm just kidding. of course, basically the way to book us at this point in time is just to email us at tt@templetonthompson.com, and all of that information is on the contact page on my website. Just look at the contact us button, click on it, send us an email, and let us know what you're wanting to do, what you're planning, you know. And obviously for nonprofits, of course, for benefits, we play for a reduced rate, absolutely. And one of these fine days when I am the philanthropist that I dream of being, which means there's tons of money in our bank account, I'm going to be able to do a lot more things for free. But, right now, obviously, we have to charge something, even if it is a benefit. But we'll work with folks, absolutely, and make things work. And
you have to. It's
what
it's
we do
your
for
business.
A living. It's our living.
That's right.
Yes,
it's what you
exactly.
do. Right. You
absolutely.
Know, when we had the acting company, we used to have people all the time trying to get us to do shows for them for free. And they, you know, one of their famous lines would be, you know, it's good exposure for you. And my line back every time was, exposure kills people.
that's better than ours. I like yours better. We have one, too. That's funny. Ours is when, exposure doesn't pay the mortgage or buy groceries. So, they don't take that at the grocery store or the feed store.
By the way, did Jennifer you ever find out why we have daylight savings time anyway? Did you find a real reason?
I did.
What's up with that?
Okay.
You did.
Yeah, what's up?
Although it was mentioned back in 1794 by Benjamin Franklin, it was not technically a moving of the clocks. It was just him going on about how people were lazy and they should be taxed for using their shutters. Modern daylight savings time was proposed by a New Zealand bug collector named George Vernon Hudson, who wanted to have more time to collect bugs. So in 1895, he sent a paper to the Wellington Philosophical Society, and a few years later, it was eventually adopted. And I think it didn't actually start officially by any government entity until 1908, but we can blame it all on the New Zealanders.
A bug collector?
A bug collector from New Zealand.
There weren't enough hours to day to collect bugs. We collect them in our house all the time, and we're not even trying.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? Wow. Huh. Wow. Well, thank you. You are just a wealth of information, Miss Jennifer.
Well,
thank you.
All of it useless, but lots of it.
Well, Janie will be back on Wednesday and Friday of this week. Get your really bad ads in. We have a Redmond Rock gift pack for the winner this week. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. And Templeton Thompson, you can visit her website at templetonthompson.com. Thank you so much, Tempe, for filling in today.
Oh, you're so welcome. This has been a real treat. I love you guys. Y'all know how much I love you, but I'll say it again and again. I love y'all. I love y'all. I love y'all. This is always a treat, and it's so much fun, and I appreciate y'all believing in us like you do. It means the world, and this helps us get
hard.
The word out.
I mean, we like your music. If your music was crap, we wouldn't have you on, okay?
Oh, thank you. Oh, I love you. I love your honesty, your authenticity. Thank you. You are too cool. Hey, and I wanted to – something I didn't mention, if you don't mind me – plug in one more thing, and the deadline's kind of coming around, but we have done a thing and would love to get some more folks entering our Girls and Horses, Make Your Own Girls and Horses music video contest. So I just wanted to kind of remind people about that. The deadline for that is December 15th, and what you'll win, the video entrant with their Girls and Horses music video. It can be a slideshow just set to our song, Girls and Horses. It can actually be video, however you want to do it. You'll win lots of download codes from us by being the person with the most views with their video. So they can find out about that again on my homepage. There's a little video slate that says Make Your Own Girls and Horses music video contest. So I wanted to kind of let more people know, because we'd love to have some more entries. It would be really cool. I'm excited. And we've gone way over 100,000 views. So thanks on that video on YouTube. So thanks, everyone who has believed in that song and who goes and sees the video. That means the world to us and buys our music, you know, and supports us. So
it's
thank
Jamie's
you.
Favorite. Girls and Horses is Jamie's favorite.
Aww.
I have to play it at least once a month or she gets cranky.
Hug her for me when you guys. Well, yeah, I know you can't virtual hug through the phone, but hugs to you, Miss Jen, and Glenn, and you guys hug each other for me in the herd. Okay, we love y'all.
All right, thank you, Tempe. We'll talk to you again soon, and I'm going to play one of your songs heading out today. And of course, it's the holidays, so we're going to play "Christmas Time's a Coming." Thank you, Templeton.
Thank you, guys. I love you. Happy holidays.
Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Christmas time's a-coming. Christmas time's a-coming. Christmas time's a-coming. And I know humming, 'cause Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing? Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming. I know I'm going home. Yeah. Running, 'cause Christmas time's a-coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing? Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Home. Christmas times are coming. Christmas times are coming. Christmas times are coming. And I know I'm going home. Christmas times are coming. Christmas times are coming.